really inspired by the lesson tonight is we'll talk about self-control. And this will be the last one of this class about self-control, then somebody else will come and start talking about another topic within Proverbs and start going over that. But what we're going to talk about tonight is discipline of the temple. And because God calls for us to live a disciplined life. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So therefore we must take care of the temple God has given us." Because it said our body is a temple. And to do that, we're going to go over a few things. One, we're going to go over how we must understand God's discipline. Right, Alex? Alex is listening right now. We're going to go and try to help to understand God's discipline and have a spiritual perspective on God's discipline. But then we're also going to talk about discipline of the mind, discipline of the body, and discipline of the spirit. The mind, body, and spirit. And that's what we're going to go over tonight. And I really pray as we go through Proverbs and also look at some other scriptures to kind of go along with the Proverbs scriptures to really help us to understand how we need to be for God and the discipline that God it calls for us to have. So this time, let's go in and pray to God. Father, I thank you so much for your blessing, for your encouragement, for all that you do for us in every way. I pray so much, God, that we will learn a whole lot in your word tonight, God. We'll learn from the Proverbs and the other scriptures about discipline. I pray so much, God, that you will open wide our hearts, open wide our minds, and your Holy Spirit will lead in a powerful way that, God, we could truly grasp what you've called us to do and how you've called us to live. Thank you so much once again for this time. Thank you so much for all those that are here to be able to hear this message. And, God, I pray so much it encourages everyone's heart. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews 12 to start out. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, with the second part of verse 5. And it starts off by saying, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. But what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our father disciplined us for a little while as he thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. Though discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." God calls us to endure hardship as sons. And he talks about us as being illegitimate children, illegitimate sons and daughters, if we don't undergo discipline. And he calls for us to learn from the discipline that God gives us. And in verse 10 it says, "God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness." So what that calls it shows me is that no discipline, no holiness. If we're going to be holy, then we have to undergo discipline. But we have to have a spiritual perspective when we undergo discipline. Because many times we could be disciplined and nothing comes of it. There are many times growing up I got disciplined. God disciplined, you know, for things. And then finally it hits me. One of the things I remember just at one time just was say whatever came to mind. Whatever came to mind. My mom started disciplining me for it. Started spanking me for it. And then all of a sudden it hit me. You know, if I think before I speak, I'll get disciplined a lot less. Wow. That's the wisdom that I was given to me at about 5. That I realized I need to shut up and think about what I say before I say it. I get a whole lot less in trouble just by being quiet at first. But it took that discipline to happen for me to get that. And the thing about it is that I didn't like the discipline. None of us do. And see, my mom was believing swift justice. I'm on the believe in the long plot. I'll let you sit in your room for a while and make you think about it. And, you know, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk to you. We have a real good talk about it. And then, no, I'm not leaving quick. You know, take my slipper off, take the belt or whatever, leaving swift justice. That's what she believed in. Quick. Like, I'm going to discipline you now. So it's only fresh in your mind what you did. So you can't say, I forgot, because you just did it. And I'm going to get you for it. And you know what? I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I hated it. Despised it. But you know what? I am so grateful for it. Because I believe without that discipline, when it was time for me to, when God was reaching out to me, and it was time to make the decision to follow Jesus, I don't know if I would have done it had it not been for that discipline. And that's what God set that all up so that we could have that. So that we could grow up and we could mature. No, that because it says that the discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who love it. Righteousness and peace. That goes right along with being holy, is having righteousness. But then also talks about peace and how great it is to have peace in our lives. But it takes that discipline for us to then get to that point of establishing peace. And it seems like those two don't go together. The discipline and peace, those two don't go together at all. But God works on our heart and gets to those points. And we're not going to like it sometimes when the discipline is going on. Most of the time, pretty much all the time, we don't like the discipline when it's happening. But if we are trained by it, how much better off we are after when it's all said and done, God has lifted us up and built us up and encouraged us. Let's look at some other scriptures about discipline and God discipline. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look at a few Proverbs scriptures that's going to talk about this. In Proverbs 3, starting in verse 11, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Look in Proverbs 10. Look at Proverbs 10 and in verse 17. It says, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life. For whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Look in Proverbs 12 and verse 1. It says in verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Very self-explanatory. Look in chapter 15 and in verse 10. As you can see, the Proverbs talks a lot about discipline. But in verse 10, it says, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. And then in 15, in verse 32, it says, he who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. That God really challenges us to undergo this, when he puts on the and have us undergo discipline for us to really learn from it, to grow from it, to not resist it, but to embrace it, to really learn the lessons that God has called for us. But there are times that while we may have the times where God disciplines us, God also calls for us to discipline ourselves. Let's look at the first way, discipline of the mind. Look at Romans chapter 12. Well, I'm sorry, right before we get there, look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8. And this is going to help us understand even Romans 12 better. But in Proverbs 12 in verse 8, it says, a man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. Okay? Now let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, This is a spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. To the disciple, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You must give up your warped mind. And the thing is, the way the world thinks and the way the world goes after things is warped. It's not in line with the Spirit. It's not in line with God. It's going off in its own way. And it's only getting worse. It's not getting better. And so, us, before we become disciples, we're thinking and going along the same patterns of this world. Therefore, the world is warped, so therefore our minds are warped too. But becoming disciples, God challenges us to renew our minds, to change our focus, to change our vision, to change our thoughts, to really have discipline of the mind, to really think the way God thinks. And that's challenging, because so much of you're going against the grain. The world's pulling you one way, but God and His Word and His Spirit is pulling you in another. And so there's going to be resistance. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a battle if we're going to be disciples of Jesus. If there's no resistance, then you're just going along with the world. But if you are deciding to step away from that and be away from that and really have your mind renewed, then that resistance is going to be there. And that's what God calls for us to have. Look at Ephesians chapter 4.
Come on, Joe.
And in verse 20. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." God calls us right here to be made new in the attitude of your minds. How's our attitude? How's our attitude towards righteousness? Our attitude towards God? How is our attitude towards church? How is our attitude towards really being righteous and following Jesus? Interesting that I was having a conversation with our oldest son, and he was studying the Bible at one time, and one of the guys studying the Bible, that he was a disciple at that time, but he was struggling. And now he's no longer in the church. But my wife was talking to him and telling him that, yeah, you know, this brother, he's no longer in the church. So you know what? I'm not surprised by that. Because I know when he was studying that he seemed like he wanted to have things his way. And that things within the church, if it wasn't his way, then he was really struggling with it. So that don't surprise me. I said, wow, that's really deep and profound. And here there's somebody that's not even, you know, a disciple, just, you know, studying the Bible at the time. He could pick up that. And that, but he recognized what his mind was. His mind was not focused on God. It was focused on his thoughts, his attitude, the way that he wanted things to be. And is that our attitude? Is that our heart? Or is our heart that, you know what? Whatever way God wants it, then that's the way it needs to be. That's the way it should be. And that's challenging. Because I know I like to have my way. I want things my way, on my time, on everything. I want, you know, if I had the world would be totally the way that I would want it. It would be messed up, but it would be my world to be the way that I want it. The thing is that, no, I have to give that up. That's the old me, that's the old way of thinking, want to have my way, want to do things the way I want to do it. Now I have to give that up and I have to have it towards God. God, what do you want? How do you want things to be? And you know what? A lot of it starts in the mind. And giving up our warped minds and really having a disciplined mind. You know, like you talked about in Proverbs is you know, having that warped mind, you're despised. To get away from that. And get away from the world and just having everything despised and just feeling that way. And not only that, but then as I think about it, We're not even talking about just giving up sinful thoughts. Because so much in our time that we could spend when we're talking about renewing our minds, we could think about the things that were sinful, that were unrighteous, give up those things. But what do we fill up our minds with? We should fill up our minds with being positive, with being hopeful, with being faithful. Fill up our minds with that. Because it's hard walking around and you're just trying to empty out things and you're not filling up with anything.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's depressing.
Right.
You know, that's you're uptight and, you know, you don't want to go outside because you know the world's going to attack you and you're just going to be trying to fight off the world all day. Well, fill up your mind with something. Fill up your mind with, like it talks about in Philippians, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy. Think about such things. That's what we should fill up our minds with. And as disciples, we should be the happiest people in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
If you think about what we have. We have the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. God has given us peace. Our burdens have been cast off. Jesus said, give me your burdens. I want them. Jesus said, give me your burdens. I'll take them on my shoulders. No big deal. I'll take them. But give me your burdens. Then when it's all said and done, when we've done whatever amount of time that God has said for you to be on this earth, we get to go to heaven. How incredible is that? How awesome is that? Then what do we do to deserve it? Nothing. We get all of this, and we didn't do anything for it. All we did was do what we're supposed to do from the beginning is accept Jesus and follow Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do from the very beginning. God calls us to go back and do it. That's what we do. That's it. And you get all those things. How much you should be joyful and happy and just content in life because our minds have been renewed. Our minds have been refreshed. That's the discipline of the mind. And that's the discipline of, you know, because as we're out in the world, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to be critical. But to see the positive in things, see the encouraging part in things, to see the beauty that God has given us, the beauty that God has built inside of you, to be encouraged by that. Really encourage us to do that. Because, like I said, we should be the happiest people on earth. Sometimes it's not the case. That's when we have to go back and have our minds renewed so that we could have that. Because that's the way Jesus wants us to walk around and to have that.
Right.
And that's part of the discipline of the mind. The other part is a discipline of the body. Let's look at some Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 7. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. How it talks about fearing the Lord and shunning evil, how it will bring health to our bodies and nourishment to our bones. Let's look at chapter 4 and in verse 20. It says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For it is the wellspring. I'm sorry. Let me go back again. I think I may have missed a part. So my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen close to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Once again, it's talking about bringing health to a man's whole body by keeping close to God. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. And in verse 30. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Big part of everything is taking care of our body by taking care of your mind and your heart. It's so funny how sometimes you think, you know, and it is part of what we eat or kind of what we're taking care of ourselves physically, but how we're taking care of our hearts, how we're taking care of our minds affects our body. How many times that you've had things where you've been in so much distress that you get sick, that you can't eat, or that you can't sleep, that you're just exhausted, you're tired, you're worn down, and really has to do with your mind and has to do with your heart. And that's what God's calling for us to have, is just that discipline of the body. Take care of the body by taking care of the mind and taking care of the heart, by focusing on it and making sure it's taken care of. But also within 1 Corinthians 6:19, remember, it talks about your body is a temple, and to take care of yourself. So with our body being a temple, that's eating healthy, that's exercising, that's dealing with high blood pressure, with diabetes, with cholesterol, getting the rest that you need, really taking care of yourself, and taking care of yourself and taking care of your physical self. That, you know, you see where you need to lose weight, lose weight. It's like you need to eat the right foods and put more vegetables and fruit in your diet. Do those things to really take care of yourself. Because if you don't, you're not going to be your best. There's no way that you're going to be your best. You're not going to be your best for God by doing that. How much more when we have kids, how we make sure our kids are doing that. Make sure our kids are at peace. Really want them to be at peace. How I'm seeing with my son now being in fifth grade, put so much pressure on him that he's all stressed about it. And because he's stressed, now he's been sick a lot. It's like, you've got to start having peace within your body. You got to start being hydrated so that you don't get sick. Because he'll eat a lot. But drink? Don't worry about the drinking. But then he keeps on saying, I'm hungry. No, boy, you're thirsty. Drink. Drink some water. Drink something. Because you keep eating up everything and you're not drinking anything. You're not hungry. You're greedy, but you're not hungry. All right? But I'm seeing the effects on him of between stress within his mind and his heart. He's not at peace. But then also just him, you know, not eating everything. Just want to snack on everything but fruits and vegetables. That's what's getting you. And then you're dehydrated. You're barely drinking anything. And how I'm seeing how it affects him. How much more it does to us. I think about my wife. And she's really radical about what she eats. She loves to exercise, whether it's yoga, going to the gym, love that. But she's an energizer bunny. She wants to run. And she gets worn out. She gets tired. So it's like, you know what? You got to start balancing it and getting the rest. And us as disciples, I have to start thinking of my own self the same thing. Because I can get caught up in everything that's going on. And I got to participate. I have to be involved. I have to be involved in everything. I have to be. And I'm just exhausted. And you know what? I'm no good for myself. I'm no good for my family. I'm no good for God. What do I have to give? I have nothing. I'm on fumes right now. That's it. Sometimes in life, that has to happen. Emergencies come up, those things happen. But if your life is just like that, then you have to get off that roller coaster and say, you know what? I have to take time to refresh and to renew. Because I know I've been at that point that I've been running so much that my times with God is just heart at peace, give light to the bones, but envy rots. Okay, I'm done. And expect that to thrive and supposed to live for the rest of the day. It doesn't happen. My prayer, oh Lord, please keep me. Watch over my family. Amen. I'm gone. And that prayer time supposed to sustain me for the entire day. It's not going to happen. And then I'm wondering, I'm trying to do all these things. I'm trying to take care of all these people. I'm trying to do all this stuff. I'm trying to do what's right. Why I keep on falling flat on my face? Spiritually, how much am I really going back to the source? Spiritually, how much I'm really refreshing and taking care of myself. And that's a challenge for us within the discipline of the body, because there is a lot going on. And I feel for those that have little kids, especially ones that have multiple little children, when I see them come over, I sell that ball of energy, I'm thinking, man, they could put this all together and make a nuclear bomb with the energy children have. Goodness! Gotta figure out how to harness that energy and poof! Goodness! But You have to be able to find the time to still be able to renew and refresh so that you could be your best. And that's what God calls for us to do. And so much of it has to do with even renewing our mind. It goes back to the first part, our discipline of the mind, and then really taking care of ourselves, taking care of our body, and really feeling it. Exercise, the same thing. When I'm exercising, I feel a lot more refreshed, I have a lot more energy than when I'm not. I'm just sluggish, and I'm just pulling through. I need to have that time to do it. If that's what it is, then go do it, to make sure you have that time. Because that's important in just having discipline and taking care of ourselves. And like I said, the other part of it in taking care of our body is being positive. That being positive, you're much more refreshed. And you feel alive. And you feel like you can tackle things versus just, you know, just pulling you down. And the weight pulling you down. The other part we want to look at is, as we look at the discipline of the body, the discipline of the mind, look at the discipline of the spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. And I think so many times that as we're looking at Romans chapter 8, we can think about being spiritual. And my perception all the time at first was spiritual means you're always talking spiritual things. You just, you know, you tell me, man, how you doing? Well, according to that scripture that I was reading, that's how I'm doing. You know? Joseph, you know, he said a football game. Well, the football game was fabulous. What I remember, what that reminded me of was when David was battling Goliath. And da, da, da. I mean, that was always my thought, you know? That's what it was. Joseph, how's the food? Well, the food reminds me of what I read in Proverbs about food, about nourishment to the body. That's what it did for me. That's what I thought spiritual meant. That, wow, I just think, wow, that person's spiritual. Look at him. Always looking at scriptures, always diving in. Man, they're spiritual. Or if you get together and pray with them, they have the best prayers. Woo, that person's spiritual. But time goes on. I said, this is right here. Romans chapter 8 in verse 1, where it talks about life through the Spirit. This is what being spiritual is about. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Elias is talking about is following the sinful nature, following the Spirit. All this, Paul was very elaborate, great scripture. incredible scripture. What it comes down to is about following the sinful nature and following Christ and following the Spirit. That's where the discipline of the Spirit comes from. Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I think that's powerful, that the Spirit has a step. And it tells us that if we're going to live by the Spirit, we have to stay in step with the Spirit. Where the Spirit leads us, wherever the Spirit leads us, that's where it does. And the Spirit sometimes leads us into some very intense, scary situations. But you know what? The Spirit will take care of you. The Spirit can tell you to go share your faith with somebody that's extremely intimidating. If you do that, whether that person is open or not at this time, God will use that. You'll be blessed through it, and how much more encouraged you'll be. If you are in a situation where it's very tempted to be unrighteous, but the Spirit is calling for you to be righteous, you give in to the Spirit versus giving to the sinful nature, you do that, how much better do you feel? How much more encouraging it is in that situation? And it is, if you get challenged in those things. And it reminded me of a time when, and this was not too long ago, where one of my coworkers, actually was one of the guys who was branch vice president of another, you know, partisan, another part of my company, said, hey, I'm going to lunch. You want to go to lunch? Like, all right, I'll go to lunch and go with a couple other guys and we're going to lunch. Like, okay, all right, I'll go to lunch with you. All of a sudden, we pull into a restaurant where the girls dress real skimpy. And I'm thinking, I know that's not where we're going. That can't be where we're going. I said, hey, are we going there? Yes, where are we going? I said, I can't go there. Whatever. We going here. I said, I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. And he said, hey, and he said, I said, with my religious beliefs, I can't be in that place. I will not be in that place. And one of the guys said, well, hey, I'm Jewish, so all religions represented here. So, hey, we might as well go ahead and come along. And I'm thinking, all right, so what in the world's happening? And the guy who drove said, hey, I'm letting you know, you could go walk to another restaurant. Or you could go, I'm not driving you back to work, you could go walk back to work. So I'm in the parking lot, and I'm thinking, all right. First thought is to go way off on him. I mean, just make a scene in this parking lot. Clay, I can't believe you're going to take me here and then going to tell me I better go or I'm going to have to walk to another restaurant or I'm going to have to walk back to work. What? You're basically going to... What? Yeah, I'm thinking, no. All right. I'm thinking, okay. All right. I was like, okay. All right, God, please help me to be wise. Help me to be wise. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And I'm thinking, you know, and at first I said, you know what? There's no way I'm going to compromise and go into this restaurant. There's no way I can face God. I cannot face my family. I cannot face my young son. I can't face you all. There's no way I could do it. So I'm thinking, how in the world would I do this? So they're walking in. I just called the guy and said, listen, I'm like, no, you all can stay here, but I will not stay in this place. I cannot stay in this place. And I think you must have saw how serious I was. My eyes must have been about this big as I was telling him. I'm letting you know right now, I cannot stay here. And that's when he said, fellas, come on. Come on, let's go. And we went over to Chili's and went and ate. And I just thought, I can't believe I'm in this situation. I can't believe I just went through this. I would think, you know, any of my old buddies from the world or whatever, but I can't believe with my coworkers that I would be put in a situation. But I said, you know what? If I would have compromised, if I would compromise either way, if I would compromise by going way off on them, that they would have felt bad, but then, you know what, there was no need for me to do that. There was no need for me to go way off on them and call them names and just, you know, do all, there was no need for me to do that. There was a better way for me to do it. But I really had to pray in the Spirit. I said, what should I do in this situation? How do I handle it spiritually? Because my inclination, I'm not compromising on this. So that never really became a big temptation for me is the compromise. But the other compromise, though, was to act a fool in that parking lot and to cause a scene. But that was Satan trying to get me right there. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not thinking spiritual right here. How do I handle this spiritually? How do I handle this? And I'm thinking, off the fly, I really need help on this one. And is it to pull him and really tell him the seriousness of this? And if they back off, then I do need to go walk off somewhere else. Do need to go. And tell him, hey, I'll meet you and we could drive back. Or maybe, well, it was a good distance for me to walk back. But I'll catch a cab, do whatever. But to think of a way out of this. But it was one of those situations where the Spirit was there and I had to really pray, like, God, like it talks about, is being in step with the Spirit. I really was trying to figure out where the Spirit tried to make me step. How to get out of this situation and still get out of it righteously. It's hard. It's very hard to do it. But I think about Nehemiah when he was in situations where he really said a quick prayer before he went talk to the king about rebuilding, you know, the wall. He's like, we're praying about it. And then he went and spoke. That's the same thing that we have to do, is really pray and just pray for the Spirit to help guide us and lead us, because we're going to be put in challenging situations where all the temptation is to do what was natural. That's going to be your quickest thing. But not all the time what's natural is what's spiritual. Thank you. Not all the time what's natural is spiritual. A lot of times what's natural is not spiritual. Yeah. And you really have to pray for God to help me to get the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Spirit. How to really have. But you have to be disciplined. And the thing is that no way, no how am I perfect on this at all. But if I was just totally unspiritual, totally unrighteous, just out there, then I get in that situation. I'm not prepared at all to think spiritual. Whatever. I've been going off of how I feel for this long. Why should it change now? That's what would be my heart at that time. But to really have the discipline of the Spirit. And that's what it talks about, is submitting to God's law and just submitting to the Spirit. That's what it calls for us to do. And the Spirit will help us out tremendously, help us to get ourselves out of jams, help to guide us into righteousness, into places where we could be inspired and encouraged where God has taken you. That's where the growth comes in. I truly believe that the times that we really follow the Spirit of God are the times that we really grow. Because the Spirit is going to challenge us. To challenge us to go against the grain. To challenge us to get rid of our warped minds and to go back and to follow it. And like I said before, that's challenging. But that's where we grow. And see, God really calls for us to have that kind of discipline. To really be disciplined of the Spirit. See, because in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That's one of the scriptures I had to really remember, especially as a young Christian, remembering that. That God did not give me a spirit of timidity, but he gave me a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That the Spirit can give us the discipline. And that's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And so, I encourage us at this time, as we're looking at the scriptures, as we see the time that God disciplines us, but the challenges that God has given us to discipline ourselves, that we should use the power that God has given us. Because God has given us the power. That we should use that power so that we can have discipline of the mind, discipline of the body, and discipline of the Spirit. And I pray so much that we can really read the Proverbs and also read the other scriptures and study it out so that we can be the disciples that God has called for us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray at this time, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for your scriptures. I thank you so much for your compassion, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you for what you've given us, that you did not get us baptized and wash away our sins and left us powerless. That you've given us a tremendous amount of power, a power to be disciplined, a power to be happy and encouraged by the things that you have given us. Thank you so much for washing away our sins. Thank you so much for giving us your Spirit. Thank you so much for cleansing us each and every day. Thank you so much for removing the burdens that are on our hearts and are on our minds and removing them. Thank you so much for Jesus, for your heart, and want to say, give it to me and cast it on me. That Jesus, you've done enough for us. You've done enough by coming on this earth and dying on the cross. Yet you still want to take on our burdens. You still want to take those on so that we can feel light, we can be encouraged, we can have the life that you have called for us to live. I thank you so much, God, for your Holy Spirit and the way it leads us. I pray so much that we'll follow it, that God, even at times where we blow it and we miss it, that we'll get back up and we'll strive harder, even harder the next time, to really fall in line and in step with your Spirit, that we'll grow and we'll mature in the way that you want us to grow and mature. I pray so much, God, that we could set a great foundation for the younger disciples. We could set a foundation for our children. That, God, we can really permeate and we can change things, God, because there's so many people that are hurting out there and are looking desperately for guidance and for where to find the answers. And, Father, you are the answer. Jesus, you are the answer. And your Spirit will lead us to them. I pray so much, God, we'll be in step with that Spirit. Thank you once again for everything that you do for us. Thank you so much, God, for this time. And I pray so much for this fellowship, God, that it really will be encouraging and an amazing fellowship. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.